Women's Wellness Initiative. Cow Pledge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is a number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.
Everybody, welcome to Chiefs Training Camp here in St. Joseph, Missouri. Josh Looney, Mitch Holtis with you. Training Camp Live presented by Heartland Health. And Mitch, there's three guys who had ACL injuries, and they took this place by storm yesterday. Tony Maiocchi, Jamal Charles, Eric Berry on the field for the first time since, what, almost a year ago, really since September of 2011. They're back here at St. Joe. Your reaction to what you saw from those three guys yesterday?
A sight for some very sore eyes. It was the best moment, in my opinion, in the Chiefs' kingdom since the win over the Green Bay Packers, beating an undefeated Green Bay team. To see Eric Berry running around as if no issues. At 4:25 p.m. yesterday in team run, Jamal Charles got his first carry. I tweeted that out. Somebody came back and said it was appropriate that it was 4:25, his jersey number. But the one that really pleases me, because I didn't know, because he didn't do as much in the spring as those two on the side, was Tony Maiocchi. But Tony appears like he's ready to rock. And it was exciting also to see him this morning in walkthroughs and what they're doing with him. And Brian Daboll knows he's got a weapon there as far as how they want to utilize him. And it's just very exciting to see those three on the field and ready to do this.
Also noteworthy returnees yesterday, Kendrick Lewis comes back. He had the pectoral injury he suffered forcing that Tim Tebow fumble in week 17, missed all of the offseason program. He was back with the ones with Eric Berry. They both were running with the starters. Tony Maiocchi and Kevin Boss, a lot of two tight end sets yesterday. They were with the starting unit. And Jamal Charles and Peyton Hillis were trading those ones at running back. And we even saw them in the backfield at the same time for the first time on the first day, which I thought was significant as well.
You're going to see a lot of that. You're going to see a lot of everything, quite honestly. I'm excited on both offense and defense. You and I have talked about it throughout the spring and summer, but now you see it in camp, you see it manifested, where this team is going to be very hard to prepare for on both sides of the ball. There's not going to be many tendencies, and you're not going to be able to tell with who's on the field of what they want to do. And they'll show some of that in front of the fans in camp, but they'll save some of it. But just suffice it to say, just keep watching these guys. This could be fun.
Scale 1 to 10, how's your mojo today?
Mojo's high.
Yeah, Jamal Charles said his mojo was high yesterday after practice. Here's Jamal Charles talking about his return to the practice field.
Was there a time in the last 6 weeks when you realized it's time?
It's time now. It's time. It's here. And I'm just blessed to be a part of this game again. God gave me another chance to go out there to show my talent.
Was there a moment or a cut where you went, yeah, okay, that's back. It's good.
A couple of plays, just warm up and individual drills. I just feel great out there today.
We just don't even think about it.
We just
don't even think about it. You know it's good.
I don't know. I feel like I got my swag back. I guess we're going to see when it's time to really put on the shoulder pads. That's when I can't really judge myself right now. When I put the pass on, that's when I really can judge myself.
All right. Well, I went out last night for some dinner in St. Joseph, and I found a fan who said, hey, what do you think about Jamal? You think he's just as fast as he was? I said, well, you know, we got to wait till pads come on. But I don't know. I really didn't see the speed. He looked like the same guy to me. When you watch him, and we can see some exclusive footage of some carries here that fans can see, it looked like the same Jamal to me.
Look at his wiggle and cutting. I mean, he's not going totally full speed here. To me, he looks the same. Now, when will we really know? When he breaks in the open field, like his 56-yard touchdown against San Diego in 2010 or his 80-yard run against St. Louis that same year, that's when we'll know. But look at those moves from a side to side. And many times with an ACL, and believe me, we've got so many in our live studio audience today that can talk about that, it's the side to side cutting as much as the straight ahead speed. And he showed that he had that same kind of agility. You asked me about my mojo? On a scale of 1 to 10, is it at 8.252981? That's the jersey numbers of those three guys.
That's pretty
mojo
good to do that right
is
there.
High.
Right there.
That's what you got to do, partner.
With Jamal also, he told himself to a high standard. He had a fumble yesterday. Yeah. We could hear his frustration from about 70 yards away. And I think that's
to be expected for a guy that comes back, hasn't touched a football. It was a pitch, I believe, was what happened. He drops. He ends up recovering his own fumble. I think with Jamal, just don't press too quickly. He's going to hold himself to a standard. You and I have talked about all offseason. This is a guy, when you clip the cord, he wants to go a million miles an hour. You kind of have to restrain him back sometimes. And we saw just a little bit about that when he fumbled yesterday.
Yeah, and let's be honest now, from a strictly football standpoint, and I gave him the biggest hug yesterday that I could give to an Olympic sprinter running back. But it was just awesome to see him on the field, because people don't know how hard it is to rehab from that kind of injury. It is brutal. And you just stay after it and stay after it and stay after it to get back to be an Olympic caliber athlete. But even before his injury, if there was a knock on him, it was fumbling the football. Mm-hmm. He's had some fumbles before, so that can't come back into his game. I mean, he's a chance to be not the premier back in the league, but one of them. But that's got to go away. And Romeo mentioned it this morning, even in the news conference, saying too many times did the ball hit the ground. Jamal's got to hang on to it.
You know who also mentioned it? Maurice Carthon, the running back. There was no time for Jamal to kind of weave in. Coach Carthon was right on him after that fumble. There was no leeway period there. Jamal and Eric trained very hard this offseason, many times together. Eric Berry returned to the practice field as well yesterday. For him, he said it was fun.
Where did you do the majority of the work at, as far as rehab and stuff with those guys?
Pensacola and a backup here in KC.
Okay. Eric, you missed a year of football. How long do you feel like it'll take you to get back to where you were before?
That's no telling. You know, I'm just going to keep working every day, you know, try to get better, just make sure I'm doing everything I can to help my team.
How was it out there for you today?
Oh, it was fun. You know, most of all, it was fun. You know, just good get out there to run around and, you know, have fun with my teammates. Covered some routes, so that's always good.
Did it mean something to pass the fitness test today and just kind of have that okay? Was that another kind of step in this road to recovery?
Nah, I knew I was going to pass that. It was easy.
Romeo talked today, basically, you guys aren't going to be limited at all. Is that how you feel right now? You're fine? You're ready to go 100% whatever needs to be done?
Yeah, whatever needs to be done, but at the same time, if they make a command and say that, you know, they need me to sit out for a little bit just to make sure of some things, you know, that's what I'm going to do. You know, at the end of the day, Coach Cornell is the general, you know, so whatever he says goes, and, you know, he knows what's best. You know, my job is just to go out there and play and make plays.
As with every training camp practice, it's early, Mitch. I have to give the win, if you want to mark it up, to the defense on the first day. Not a whole lot of big plays from the offense on the offensive end as they kind of get things together. Defense is a lot easier to just go out there and play early. However, there was one offensive play today, again, and again it was turned in by John Baldwin, going across the middle, makes a tough catch in traffic, then releases from defenders, and he's out the gates up the middle. It was a great pass by Matt Castle, got it over a linebacker, and then Baldwin catches it between two defenders, wrestles away. John Baldwin, pretty interesting comments from him yesterday. He seems more relaxed on the field. He seems more relaxed off the field. I don't know if it's because Dwayne Bowe's away and he can just focus on building this relationship with Matt, if it's a whole year in the league, what it is with him, Mitch, but something's clicking with this guy, and it's more than just making the plays on the field. He just seems more comfortable in himself as a player coming into training camp.
I think there's a couple factors here. One is maturity, his second year in the league, obviously, but I think he's as hungry as maybe Jamal or Eric or Moyaki is. Let's don't forget, he missed 6 weeks. This point of the year, it would be next week, he had the issue and lost 6 weeks of his first career. So as a result, he played catch-up all year long. He was working uphill on the treadmill all year. He had the best catch in the National Football League that nobody even saw because it was wiped out by an injury, by a penalty. But if that play would have stood, we would have seen it all summer. It would have been up for an ESPY. So I think all of that factoring in, I think Jonathan Baldwin has a chance to have a very good season. But what I liked about him when I watched him during the OTAs in spring ball, Josh, was the same stuff I talk about with you with Dwayne Bowe. This is a league not only about talent, it's about precision, being precise. And maybe no position requires precision other than the quarterback than the wide receiver spot. He looks like he is interested in being that kind of precise receiver. That encourages me as much as anything. And not the spectacular catch only, but it's making the routine catch and running the routine route the same way every time.
We handed out our MVP awards for the offseason program. Jonathan Baldwin on the offensive side of the football, Jaleel Brown on the defensive side of the football. So, and it's not just us. A lot of people patting Jonathan Baldwin on the back. He had a great, he had phenomenal offseason OTAs without the pads on. And he talked yesterday about building on that. But more importantly, he's hearing it from the fans. Fans, people want this guy to succeed. He is trying to stay humble, stay focused, and stay prepared and make sure he doesn't have a slow start like he did last season.
Romeo was saying that during this offseason, it looked like you might have that attitude that seems like, hey, I might be the man here. Do you have that attitude? Do you have that mindset?
You know, I'm just going, like I said, all I can do is try to get better every day, you know, try to critique myself every day and just take what I critique onto the practice field and continue to progress.
You showed some flashes last year. You had the good game against San Diego. How do you get consistent? How do you take what you did in that game and spread it out over 12, 14, 16 games?
Well, you know, it's just work, just hard work, you know, and the relationship, you know, the relationship we have with the quarterbacks, and that's the main thing, just continue to build the relationships.
How motivated are you to have a better training camp experience and just to kind of put your past behind you and be in St. Joe and have things turn out differently this year than it did last year?
Well, I'm super motivated, you know, it's always a motivation to just keep working hard and just critique yourself and never get complacent on getting stuck on just being one way, you know. So I just want to get better every day and just continue to critique myself and take it from there.
Mitch, you and I watch these practices. We watch every one of them, and we're both encouraged about this guy. But why are you so encouraged? I don't think it's just the catches that this guy's making.
No, I really like the way he's integrating with the rest of this football team. I mean, he's all in, but the guys are kind of all in with him. They've seen him now try to develop a work ethic and doing things correctly. But he is interacting with guys on both sides of the ball, with Matt Cassel, with the other receivers. It just seems like he's getting it. I hope now, as we look over the next 4 weeks, that this is a time where Jonathan Baldwin takes a big jump up in his NFL career. I've said it, told it to you before, but I'm going to say it as long as he's a Kansas City Chief. I was so impressed. He was in my group in Joplin in June of 2011, and no human being worked harder on that trip than Jonathan Baldwin. And I'd heard, you know, the pluses and minuses, John, coming out of Pitt. But that day, I knew there's something inside of Jonathan Baldwin that could make him a special player and a person in the National Football League.
And I also asked Romeo Crennel just that, Mitch. Is it just us that aren't with Jonathan every day? I mean, we're close, but we're not there in the meetings. We're not there in the locker room every day. Is it just us that feel like this? Or is Romeo noticing an increased comfort, that integration you're talking about with his teammates? And here's what Coach Crennel said earlier this afternoon.
Well, sure, that happens with all rookies, though, you know. He was a rookie last year, got hurt, and so the stress of trying to win a job, you know, trying to make this team, that wears on guys. But now, you know, he had a good off season. I think he feels good about where he is physically, and so it makes you relax a little bit more. Plus, you know the people you're working with because you've been in the locker room with him, you've been in the meeting rooms, and gone to dinner and things like that, so that allows you to relax a little bit more.
Of course, anywhere you go in training camp, if you've been here, and then for those of you who haven't, you probably have figured it out through Twitter or even through our chat room, there's always the questions of Ricky Stanzi, the most popular man in training camp, and of course our man Bob H. Lage, I believe. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name, Bob. Sneak in Stanzi, so let's give a Stanzi update for Stanzi Nation out there. Ricky working, Ricky working with the threes yesterday, and I know that caused a lot of people to fire up on Twitter. Brady Quinn working with the twos. What do you take of it, Mitch? I'll give you my quick take is these guys rotated with the snaps practice to practice with the twos. I wouldn't read much into it this early in camp. Do you think we're going to see a continuation of this battle, of them switching off reps as we go?
I think it's going to be the same as the spring. And what I saw this morning in walkthrough was Ricky was with the twos. So I'm not so sure that he will not be with the twos this afternoon when we get on the field. I think it's a matter of they want to be equitable and balanced and fair to Brady and to Ricky and give them equal time with the twos and to give them equal snaps. You can be with the twos or the threes. It's not that big a deal necessarily right now. It's the number of snaps. If you get 20 snaps and I get 5, that's an issue. If you get 13 and I get 12, that's fine. Listen, I do shows every week in Cedar Rapids and Des Moines, Iowa. Stanzi Nation is alive and well.
It's strong.
Because as strong as the Chiefs' kingdom is, the Hawkeye Nation is right there. And then you put the two together that are Hawkeye and Chiefs fans, it's off the chain. So, yes, we know about Ricky Stanzi. Maybe it's the Samson hair. I don't know. He does have the longest hair probably of any guy in Chiefs history other than, you know, some of the other guys. But anyway, Ricky Stanzi is going to be watched closely. Then they'll ask about Moe Aki kind of parenthetically, but it goes back to Ricky Stanzi. Always back to Ricky Stanzi. So,
are you going to be able to call this preseason a snap from Rob Brueggemann to Ricky Stanzi to throw a touchdown to Tony Moiaki? Hawkeye, Hawkeye, Hawkeye connection. Everyone goes crazy.
Don't tell the Hawkeye Chief fans that. They'll have their iPads just bashing them on their head. I mean, they're going to be so excited about that. But, yes, I do think we're going to see some of that.
You mentioned the snaps, and if you really want an even quarterback rotation, you're right. It needs to be equal snaps. And I think looking down the road, especially for fans in preseason, sometimes, let's face it, the preseason games, when it gets to the second half, you start not necessarily knowing many of the players that are playing. I think we're going to see a lot of Ricky Stanzi and Brady Quinn into the second half of this preseason. And if you're into quarterback battles and that's the thing you're watching, the second half of preseason games are going to be vitally important for both of these guys in winning that number two job.
And with no developmental league anymore in the National Football League, this is it. This is the only chance you get. And so in the case of those two guys, and let's be honest, Quinn has looked pretty good this spring too. I mean, there's times you and I have talked, he looks like he's trying to, you know, resurrect his career. So, yes, this preseason will be one of the most interesting probably in 20 years just because of what you said. It's a fourth quarter and Quinn's out there quarterbacking. People are going to watch that very closely.
Yeah, and I hear you through the iPad. What about Trick Shot? That's another guy to watch.
Trick Shot, here we go.
Everyone wants to see if the YouTube phenom can translate onto the football field. Well, the guy at the top of the quarterback race,
well, this
Matt
is Monmouth Nation.
Monmouth Nation. The guy at D3 Nation, D3Football.com. We'll get into that another day. But the guy at the top of the competition is the starter, Matt Cassel. He talked yesterday, and, you know, before we get to what he said, such a great attitude. It's the first time he's really talked since the All-Star game, and it obviously made headlines. He was booed at a celebrity softball game, and he was asked about it yesterday, and he said, "I didn't hear booing. I just heard Chiefs." I thought that was a great way to answer it, and he's coming in with a positive mindset. And I think maybe a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, which I think that's a good thing for Matt.
Listen, Matt's faced this his whole career, going back to his high school days. He had it at USC. He had it at New England. When he's been given the chance, he's responded for the most part. That 08 year that he had in New England, for the life of me, I'm not sure why fans are so down on him, and not all of them are. But this guy, you talk about a guy in the locker room that people want to follow and play for and be with, it is Matt Cassel. He's the unquestioned leader of this football team. He embraces it. Good times, bad times. And he is off to a good start in this camp. He's not going to hit every pass. Don't think he won't throw a pick in this camp, but he's reborn. We've said it before. He loves Brian Daboll a lot, and he loves the guys around him, particularly when a guy that makes a play like that, like Jonathan Baldwin. But I just think we've got a rejuvenated Matt Cassel on this football team as well.
Definitely rejuvenated. Here is what Matt Cassel talked about after his first practice here in St. Joseph.
Right. You know, I think all the rookies that came in last year got off to a slow start because of just the simple fact that they didn't have that OTAs and the off season to work together. And so we spent a lot of time this off season just trying to build a relationship, build a rapport, talk through a bunch of different routes, how we see them conceptually, and also against different defenses. So I think it was a lot of good work. Again, now that we're out here against our defense and you get to see somebody else out in front of you, that's when you start to really apply it and try to make strides.
What an opportunity he has right now. You'd like to have Dwayne in too, but this is big for him. How big is this for him?
Well, you know, I think he's taking it day to day. And again, this is day one of camp. We know that we've got a long way to go, but I think every day for this team, for everybody individually, it's about making strides each and every day and trying to get better each and every day and trying to minimize your mistakes.
Have you seen the importance of camp and what it does for a team, a good camp can do?
Well, I think a good camp brings us together. You know, I think we've got a great defense out there, so we know we're going against one of the best defenses in the league out there each and every day offensively. So when you go out there offensively and get to compete against the best each and every day, it just makes you better. And then also, like I said, you know there's going to be mistakes in camp. You're going to go through the ebbs and flows like you do in every football game. But at the same time, if you can get better each and every day, it brings the team closer together, and you start to build camaraderie as you get closer to season.
Well, pads don't come on these guys until tomorrow, on Sunday, first padded practice. Not Coach Quinnell's decision. This is the new CBA. You got to get a couple days in under your belt before you go into pads.
No, so he'd have been in pads yesterday.
He's old school. He would have been pads. He would have been having some two-a-days or three-a-days, whatever you do when you're an old school head football coach. And a lot of people want to see – that's the day I've circled that I'm going to go down and watch – offensive line, defensive line. Because Dontari Poe, I don't care what he does until the pads come on, because I've seen him without the pads on. But a lot of fans are asking, what did Dontari Poe look like? So with Cloris Mitch, we've got our footage here. Everybody getting their first glimpse of Dontari Poe out on the practice field for the first time. This is really all you're going to see from Dontari until the pads come on. Just technique, handwork, footwork. And, I mean, the guy was a physical freak. Look at him. And he had crazy combine numbers. I want to see if he can collapse the pocket when the pads come on. That's what I'm most interested to see. But for our fans who haven't seen him here in training camp, here's your glimpse of Dontari. Do you share that same sentiment? What have you seen from him without the pads so far?
What I've seen is the athleticism that showed up at the combine. I mean, he blew away the 225-pound bench reps, everybody in the place. He's got just freakish kind of measurables. So does that translate to pads? I think that Romeo Crennel is going to ease him in to this role. I see him, we mentioned it yesterday, not going in the deep end of the pool on the first day of swimming lessons. But, and I always, we got a lot of guests here today that are going to go to camp. I always have them watch O-line, D-line. The best thing to watch at training camp, because you really get a chance to see it, you really don't watch it during the game, unless that's specifically what you're watching. There's no fantasy football for it. It's reality football, is when the O-line goes against the D-line. And many times, defensive linemen, the drill I want to see in pads is when they go up against basically 2.5 offensive linemen. You've seen it. Right. Dorsey's done it for years, where he's got to line up against basically 3 guys. And that is no fun. And I want to see Dontari Poe do that drill. But they're also going to do some one-gap stuff with him.
It's not even fair at times. It's like, hey,
no, it's way
Glenn,
unfair.
Go ahead and take on these 300-pounders yourself.
You're saying work all 3 shifts, and then, you know, we have you a 15-minute break between the 3. That's what it's like. And you're basically taking on 1,000 pounds of weight.
Right.
And you've got to show some unusual strength. But I also want to see his agility, the one-gap stuff, and the hand and footwork. That's not going to be perfect right away. But what you're looking at is, does he have that natural skill that Anthony Pleasant can work with to build him in. But the thing I like about it is the team's not saying he's the first-round pick, he's the center of attention right away, go get him. This is going to be giving him a nibble at a time as this camp moves on.
And he's not. He won't be the center of attention right away. That belongs to Anthony Toribio, at least in the base defensive sets. Dontari Poe expected to be in the first team next to Alan Bailey when they go to sub-package. He's kind of a pass rush guy. A lot of people heard that news yesterday and say, okay, well, for how long? Is this just, we're going to make you earn it? Interesting enough, Romeo Crennel said some nice things about Anthony Toribio once again this afternoon. And whether it's Toribio, whether it's Poe, Anthony Toribio is a guy that needs to be on your radar as a Chiefs fan. Here's what Romeo Crennel said about Anthony Toribio in his third season here with the Chiefs.
You know, he had a pretty good camp the first couple preseason games. And Toribio is a technician. He's a really good technician. And playing that nose, that's one of the things that I look for. And he would have been competing for a starting position if he hadn't gotten hurt. So now he's rehabbed and he's back, and so that's why he's the starter.
Anthony Toribio might also be, his teammate Shane Bannon in the elevators 2 nights ago called him the weirdest guy on the team. I say he's the most interesting guy, so I caught up with Anthony. Not only
Shane Bannon's calling somebody else weird,
yeah,
just because he went to Yale.
Mr. Yale Beard is calling
you. Mr. looked like the Unabomber that I went to Yale, so I wouldn't necessarily,
Toribio is definitely an interesting guy, a big personality, and if you follow him on Twitter, you know some of his interests. He's a diehard soccer fan. He's boys with Jimmy Johnson in NASCAR and hangs out in Pit Row. I mean, the guy has a strange taste in music. The guy's very interesting. So I caught up with him yesterday, asked him a little bit about working with the ones at nose tackle, but then kind of to introduce himself to Chiefs fans, the guy behind the helmet. Let's take a look.
Josh Lee at Chiefs training camp following the first practice with Anthony Toribio. Working with the ones today at nose tackle, I'm sure it's a good feeling for you.
Oh, of course it is. I'm just taking advantage of every opportunity that the coaches give me, whether they put me on the second, third, or first string. just take advantage of it, anything that'll help me make this 53-man roster at the end of camp.
Well, it's definitely an opportunity for you. I mean, we think back to your career. You come here off waivers from Green Bay, mm-hmm. 2010. You play 5-6 games for the Chiefs. Last year, you're on the practice squad, and then you're kind of rotating in through OTAs. And when minicamp came in, you were in that number one spot, and mm-hmm. that's how you start today. So definitely an opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it gave me a lot of time, you know, being on the practice squad. You know, Anthony Pleasant, he worked with me a lot, you know, and getting my technique down. So it's definitely benefiting me right now. So just like I'm saying, wherever they put me at, I just got to take full advantage and full opportunity, and how Coach Rack say, and just watch where the cards may lay.
We hear so much about defensive linemen, and they swear, you know, it takes me a year, 2 years, 3 years to really feel comfortable. Yeah. And obviously, you're kind of coming into your own, it seems. And what is it about that? Why does it take a little bit of time for guys that are big to fit in?
I just think just from the scheme, you know, it takes a while to pick up, especially a 3-4. It takes a lot to two gap. You know, you have great coaches, and they teach you, and you learn, you pick up. It goes on your learning curve, you know. So I would say the years that I spent here in that practice squad really helped me out a lot.
Now, for you, Shane Bannon said you're the weirdest guy on the team. I'm going to say you're the most interesting because you're tweeting about soccer. I saw you at a NASCAR race in pit row. Hey. You're always singing. What is it about you?
I'm all about new things that I was never experienced to growing up, man. So I'm into so weird kind of music. No, I just really like it, man. I'm a huge Liverpool fan.
Why? Why are you a Liverpool soccer fan?
2005. AC Milan, Liverpool. Watch that European Cup. You'll be a believer.
And you've always been a soccer guy, even though you're a big defensive lineman?
Ever since I played a little bit growing up, but, you know, football kept me away from it. So soccer kind of was always at heart. I just love it, man. It's a beautiful game. Football is even better, though.
And when I say I saw you at Pit Row at a NASCAR race, I'm not talking like I just saw you at Pit Row. You, like, had the headset on. You were yeah, like, you're part of the pit crew.
My buddy, Matt Terrell, he went to Carson Newman with me. Small school, man. We put a couple people out there. He's pit crew for Jimmy Johnson. And so he kind of had the hook of that, hey, I'm in town, man. Come holler at me. So it was a cool experience. That was my first NASCAR race, too. So I'll definitely make it to more if I have opportunities, too.
Yeah, for Jimmy Johnson, straight to the top. Huh?
Yeah, you know, I really wasn't familiar with NASCAR, and I looked up Jimmy Johns. I've heard that name so many times, so I'm top notch, man.
Good luck to you, Cap.
Thank you, man.
Anthony Turbo, an easy guy to root for, and who knows, he may end up being a guy who has a big place on this defensive line. It's kind of come out of nowhere, really, through the offseason program, and to now being a starting role. And when Romeo Crennel calls you a technician,
yeah,
that is as high of a compliment as you can receive from a coach like Romeo Crennel.
Yep, because he's all about technique.
That's what he's all about.
But this is also a compliment to Scott Peule and his staff, because the preseason is not only about evaluating your roster, it's evaluating the other 31. And I mentioned it yesterday, but it bears repeating when you talk about Toribio. The Chiefs have played Green Bay now for what, years in the preseason? They saw Toribio. Green Bay wanted to keep him. They got B.J. Raji and a bunch of other guys on that team. They had to let him go, and the Chiefs snatched him right away. And so, listen, the NFL is ongoing all the time, trying to improve. Scott mentioned it's one of the reasons Arizona's coming in here. But Toribio is a perfect example. Now a part-time starter for this team that basically was because of the due diligence of Scott's staff watching the other 31 teams in this league. Because Toribio's Carson Newman. That's Division Two, brother.
That's in
Catawba's league. Okay, he ain't going to be there on draft day in the green room. So you find those guys that become Division Two players, and Toribio's a big part of this right now.
Most definitely. Another great day of participation in our live chat room. Thanks for watching us live. And Mitch, for the first time in the history of Chiefs Live, we had a live studio audience. Why don't you introduce our studio audience here.
Yeah, right down the line. Okay, that's...
Smile, you're on camera.
Marcus Allen. I kid you not. His name is Marcus Allen.
That's a pretty good name.
Austin Allen, otherwise AA batteries. That's Steve Campbell. That's Trish Campbell. That's Lindsey Campbell. There we go. There's Lindsey Campbell, all right. There's Tanner Campbell, and that is Skylar Campbell. They live in, Osborne County. They go to Smith Center to school, the Redmen, our boys, bestseller. You can find it, you know, online, Amazon. But Osborne County, Smith County, Alton, Osborne, Portis, Smith Center, Gaylor, they can claim all of that because they live basically right in the between all that. So
awesome.
Big Chiefs fans are here today for camp.
Right, thanks for coming. We definitely want to see you at a training camp practice here in St. Joseph. Make sure you say, hey, if you see Mitch and I out at practice, we'll see you tomorrow. Same place, same time, 2 p.m., Chiefs Live presented by Heartland Health.
Women's Wellness Initiative. Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is a number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.